Blog Talk Radio.
this two-hour pleasure cruise.
Where on Saturdays we forget about all the evil in the world. And there's been a lot of it. There's been a lot of it. You see, we don't talk about that. We talk about things that really matter to Americans, and that is sports. Now, last week, I don't know what to say. I thought I was doing good, and then I'm not. Well, Viper ended up with 9. Seth, still in the rear, but he made up. He got 8. Brother X at 4, and I ended up at 5. New England screwed me. Tampa screwed me. My own team screwed me. Atlanta screwed me. Miami screwed me. I know it was a long shot for Chicago, but I'm telling you, Chicago looked a lot better than they have in a long time. A long, long time. So anyway, we got Seth on board. I want to bring him on board. I want to talk about a couple of things. Seth, my good friend, welcome aboard. Happy Saturday.
Shabbat Shalom. Happy Saturday.
Shabbat Shalom. Hey, what do you know about this whole Harbaugh thing in Michigan?
It's really long. It's really drawn out. Hopefully I can just make some major sticking points.
Well, the reason why I'm asking you, I don't mean to interrupt, but the reason why I'm asking you is because these recruiting rules in college are so convoluted. I mean, just looking at somebody crossing the street can be, you know, recruitment violations.
I think if I can break this down simplistically for our listeners, is earlier in the year, there surfaced a thing with Jim Harbaugh taking out a prospective recruit for a burger, fries, and a shake sort of thing. So what is that? A total of $50 at worst. I don't even know. The NCAA came after him. Michigan gave himself a 3-game suspension, right? So it kind of just – but Michigan didn't really admit to the fault. Jim Harbaugh never really admitted to the fault. Everybody kind of looked at it as absurd. And it was what it was. So already Jim Harbaugh and the NCAA and everything has given the middle finger to the NCAA along with the University of Michigan. It was okay. But now the stallion with it looks like an actual organized thing of cheating with at least the last 2 years, up to 3, I think, seasons.
Well, I also heard that there was some videotapes or something.
Stallion was a contracted player by the University of Michigan. As a contracted player, which University of Michigan contracts a lot of different people and a lot of different things, if they don't know that, he had a certain job role. His exact definition of his job role, I am not clear on, so I cannot clarify or, you know, do any of that. But what I'm going to say is it looks like this guy went to numerous places ahead of time of potential Michigan opponents or potential Michigan opponents in the FBS, did his thing, figured out how to steal their signs. And then, through this, somehow got it to the coaching staff, which is still not Jim Harbaugh, though his assistant coaches is whatever. And all of a sudden, it gets up to the pipeline, and he's making a decision. Well, if you look at betting on over and unders or by point total spreads or whatever. Michigan, in the last 2 years, with their point spread totals, which some of these games are like 20 points, 30 points, they have beat the spread 19-5-1. 19-5-1 against Vegas spreads. So, of course, Vegas doesn't like to lose money either. So now there's a lot of different aspects involved into what is going on here. Who knows what, but what I
But did Harbaugh actually go and figure out the signs himself? Was it actually
Absolutely not. No. Right. So here's the dilemma that the Big Ten just did the other day. They had a meeting, and they decided to suspend him from being at the games the rest of the regular season, which was three at that point.
Yeah.
There is no proof that he knew about any of this. There's none. So now you have just convicted a person and punished them without due process. So this is already like the first start of, oh no, how is this all going to end? Now the last game of the season is going to be between Michigan and Ohio State. And right now Michigan is still rated number 3 in the NCAA. Ohio State is rated number 1. So if they lose to Ohio State, because their head coach wasn't on the sideline, is this also a scandal of sorts? Like, who's getting paid? The Big Ten? Vegas? I don't know. But a lot of this stuff doesn't make sense. I really wish Viper could have elaborated on stuff being a coach, because a lot of this stuff didn't make sense to me. Unless you can prove that 100% that this dude did this, how did you make a reaction to have a decision like this that affects the game monetarily for bettors and such other people?
Well, I do know that there's always politics in college football. And I remember this was in the late 80s. I think I was in the Navy or just got out of the Navy. Washington, University of Washington, the Huskies. Well, you know, they had their Rose Bowl, and one of the guys we went to school with, he was drafted by the Bills but only made the practice squad. But they were a phenomenal team, the Washington Huskies. Well, they had some kind of, I don't know, it was a ridiculous recruiting violation. They took them away from any bowl games, and a lot of the players had to transfer because they just destroyed the program for like several years. And I remember, and I had a shirt, and it was all over the state of Washington, if you can't beat them, disqualify them. And that's kind of, you know, what sometimes I think this is, and you never know, because these rules of, I mean, they can be arbitrary, and some guys can get away with it, and some guys can't. It just, I don't understand them, and anything can be, yeah, like say somebody's really hungry, coach, I just met you, I'm starving. Yeah, I need something to eat. Okay, here's a burger. Oh, by the way, do you play football? Yeah, I do. Oh, okay, that's a recruiting violation. When all you try to do is help out somebody who needed something to eat.
Oh, no, and to be honest, as a human being, just human kindness, hanging out with someone for their lunch, we're not talking about a $2,500 lunch in Manhattan, okay?
We're talking burgers and fries
here. Burger, fries, and maybe a shake. And I said $50 at most. I mean, it's probably $20, right? What's the you're eating a meal with a person, and you're just hanging out and talking to them. I don't, especially now that you have the NIL with all these kids with these deals, that some of these kids get $1 million in their NIL.
Well, how do you recruit anybody? How are you supposed to recruit? You go, you're supposed to talk to them. Well, if you talk to them, I guess, I don't know. They got to stand on the other side of the room, no touching. Use sign language?
No,
I mean,
I just feel like this is a modern-day witch hunt, and you're going after Michigan, who has been irrelevant in college football for over 5 years. And now they've gotten back into this status. And they're not that exciting SEC school. They're not that exciting Pac-10, 12, West Coast. They're not a, you know, East Coast team. It's really tragic. I just don't know why you implemented a decision without officially having a verdict of some sort. And they did it during Veterans Day, so the courts are closed for a long time, so Michigan can't even have this in a court of law, a motion and an injunction.
Well, NFL does that too, and that is wrong. If you're going to punish somebody, I don't care if you're working at McDonald's, okay? You did something, you called into the manager's office, you got to show proof, you got, you know, here's a videotape of you stealing money out of the cash register. You're fired. But with the NFL, oh, we got a rumor that you did something. You know, we heard somebody say that you did something. Okay, you're guilty.
Right.
Well, I guess I could probably see Harbaugh, you know, stealing signs, but...
It's really hard to say what is... you as a competitor would do to gain extra advantage that you know everybody else is doing, right? So at that point, can I say that man is 100% innocent? No. But can I say the man is 100% guilty? No.
No.
That's it.
Well, you know, to prove that you stole signs, you're going to need, I would imagine, at least videotape of you videotaping the coach and then watching, you know, give them the signs and then watching the play to see to match that up. Okay, that sign and they did this play. Okay. But, it, you know, we would have those. They would be talked about. Do you know what he did to actually steal the signs?
No. No one does.
See, this is what I'm talking about. I was talking to my little brother about it, and he was literally guilty
before proven innocent.
Yeah, and he follows. Right, but my brother he follows college football a lot more than me. Sometimes he follows it more than the NFL, and I was asking him about it, and he knows nothing. And I was asking if he knew anybody that knew. Nobody seems to know, but yet he's guilty. This is what just really bugs me. And you read these stories and on these pages, and they don't even say anything. They just say, oh, he violated this and violated that and blah, blah. Okay, well, where's the weenie? You know, where's the proof? I don't know. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's the last three games, and there's no court that's open. So he's helpless. He can't do anything.
And it really sucks because if you look at the University of Michigan, they are the oldest organized university football team still in history. They have some amazing head coaches in their history. This guy could have became one of the head coaches in their history. And if this gets him kicked out of the whatever, that'll be tarnished. And it's a real shame. But if he's not guilty, why are you guys going after him? Kind of sort of stuff. But
well, what I really don't like
is totally different.
Right. But what I really, really don't like, and I don't think this is fair, and it's wrong, that when coaches or staff members, they do something, a violation, they punish the team and the players get punished. It's like, wait a minute, the team didn't do anything. It was you punish the guys. You fire the coach, and if there's any kind of jail sentence or fine, well, then you fine them, you throw them in jail, but you don't punish these players because now they got to transfer to another school because they're trying to make it into the NFL, and they're punishing these players who don't deserve it, and that is wrong, wrong, wrong. You punish the guys who committed the crime, not the players.
These players know nothing. These players are playing for their hearts. They're playing for the NFL.
Right.
They're playing whatever they're playing for.
Some of them are trying to get into the NFL, and now they got to transfer to another school because their coach did something that they had nothing to do with, and now they got to get punished. That is, I don't like that with college football. They do that far too often.
No, and with college football, you know these kids are playing every single game their hearts out. It doesn't matter if they're, predicted to lose by 40. They're still playing so these kids are always playing their hearts out. And to know, let's say you're a freshman or a sophomore at the University of Michigan, and this all goes down, it's bad, and your team is banned from going to the FBS or a college bowl game for the next 5 years, well, I'm transferring in the portal, right? And that already sucks. You've made a commitment, and you got accepted to a big-time football school. Now you got to transfer as a sophomore or a freshman? What?
Well, some of these guys have to go
to accomplish your goals. You might have to travel, 1,000 miles away.
Well, you've also got a thing like, say you're a quarterback, and there's not that many quarterback spots open. Now you're a quarterback, and your coach or whatever does some kind of violation, and now let's say you're a sophomore or maybe a junior, and now you've got to figure out how to transfer to another team that needs somebody that's open because you can't get to a bowl game. You can't get into any other games, and your program is stripped down to hardly anything. And again, that's not fair to the player. The players are getting punished, and the coach, okay, he loses his job. Big whoop. He may be out of a job for a year, maybe two, and he'll find another job somewhere else.
Right. And then look at these transfer portals that might happen. Like, let's say you're a really good cornerback. You go to, the University of Missouri, and there's a really good cornerback there. Well, of course they're going to take you. You were from the University of Michigan. So what did you do to that kid that played at the University of Missouri? He's out. He might not even play college football anymore.
Right. Well, somebody's going to lose their job. Either you're going to be out of never being able to play again because they've already got it stacked. They've already got their quarterbacks or linemen or whatever they need. And now you're screwed? So you got to stay with this school or you're not going to get any recognition whatsoever. And good luck trying to get drafted because you can't get into a bowl game and they're not going to give you any real big games to play on Saturday. You're not going to play any real teams. They're going to play these, quad A, these colleges. It's just wrong. Punish the guys who committed the crime. And don't punish the program. That's
well, no,
fair.
And what you did in your statement as the commissioner of the Big Ten is you now punished all of the kids playing
yeah.
football for the University of Michigan. That's what you did.
Exactly.
That's what you did. And that's horrendous.
Well, it's
unfair. It might cost these kids millions of dollars in their future because of this decision.
Well, I don't know. College, the NCAA, they're a mess. They've got the most cockamamie rules. I don't understand who makes up this stuff and why.
Well, what they did is when they incorporated the NIL, they made it where it went to, like, court of law, as far as I know. And so it became legal. But they still have their old NCAA rules with the new NIL, as far as I know. And this is where I wish Viper could elaborate on that, because
it's
that's
very
a
contradictory
messed up thing.
It's hypocrisy and to the nth degree.
A cheeseburger bad, but the kid can make $100 million on an NIL deal. I don't know.
Like I said, it's very contradictory.
It's
hypocrisy to the nth degree. And, well, see, they're making money. See, that's all they care about. Are they making the money? Yeah, okay, well, then that's fine. Well, the college kids shouldn't be making a dime.
The time for a long time was the NCAA players, they were like, oh, hey, we give you full scholarships and whatever and blah, blah. And the players were like, we make your program $100 million a year on the full. Like, there's no money for us. So...
Well,
yeah.
You know, there was a, I think it was a high school or it could have been college, but I remember we were kids, you know, on our baseball team and the sponsors that we had bring us in and we'd all get like free pizza or ice cream or whatever. Well, they can't do that now. If somebody, let's say, is a big fan of this particular team and wants to bring the team out and pay for pizza and say, congratulations, you won a big game. I'm buying all the pizza you guys can eat. Somehow that is completely against the rules. And you're not recruiting. They're already recruited. They're on the team. But they're not allowed to accept free pizza. But yet somebody buys their jersey and they can walk away with, you know, millions of dollars in their pocket. That just doesn't make any sense.
No, and that's why I'm saying the NCAA fought the NIL as long as they could. It went to a court of law. They decided it was – so the NCAA just kept their old laws. As far as I look at it and see it, so it's like you can't have this.
Well, no, Wait a minute. If the NCAA, they make up the rules for college sports. There's nobody that can come up and say, wait a minute, we're going to change the rules and we'll take you to court. See, that doesn't make any sense to me. And how the court sided with them doesn't make any sense at all. The NCAA gets to decide, okay, you guys don't make any money. These are the rules. We decide. Not a court gets to decide you get to make your rules for your league, but we get to decide what rules you get. You can't do that. That's abuse of abuse of power by the courts.
Yeah,
right?
I when Viper comes on, we'll have him explain all that a little bit more into detail, because it's it was one of those things that I couldn't believe that it happened, and it did happen, and now we're just dealing with the remnants of what happened. And people are still trying to sift through, like, how can we make this work? And it really all stemmed from some things in the
Western states. Players are actually making
players
money?
Players already wanted to get paid to be players, like $15 an hour, $20 an hour, or whatever it was. And it just
going by jerseys and stuff.
During the COVID stuff.
But how many players are actually making any money?
Oh, there's so many, Skeet. You have no idea.
Yeah, but I thought it was all just basically jerseys. So if they sold your jersey,
No. These guys do car advertisements on TV, the whole gamut. They're literally like
college kids are doing commercials now.
That's what I'm saying, Skeet. You're a little behind the times. It's okay.
I don't watch college football very often.
It's crazy. They're getting paid real money, and that's why I was saying on the show maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago. I said with Caleb Williams, the quarterback from USC. I think is a junior, so he can go to the NFL after this season. But then if he's going to get drafted by a certain team, no matter what they're going to pay in the minimum that you have to pay a number one quarterback, he might stay another year because he's making so much money on NIL deals for his senior year. And then he'll come into the NFL.
Well, hell, if it's going to be like that.
How could someone ever not go to the NFL when they could go to the NFL?
Well, what I'm saying is some of these guys could come out of college and already have enough money where they don't even need to go to work anymore. They don't need to play in the NFL. They don't need to do anything.
Now you're seeing it where college players from freshmen, if they played all the way to senior and they did it right, they might never have to have one of those physical injuries in the NFL to maim them the rest of their lives. They already have $4 or $5 million, and they're only 21.
I think there ought to be a limit to how many juniors can be drafted, and I don't think sophomores should be allowed to be drafted.
Well, no, I think we might see the NFL change one of its old archaic rules because of all this. And I know I'm looking a little bit to the future, but to combat what everything has happened with the money that is now available to the college athletes is to get rid of this rule that you got to be 3 years of college or 3 years removed from high school, and now you can go to the NFL. Screw that. Make it where it's 1 year or zero, and just, you think you're good enough to go to the NFL? Come over here. You want to make some real money? You know, not worry about an NIL deal?
Yeah, but, you know, if you look at the numbers of these guys that get drafted, sophomores, I mean, it's very difficult to make it into the NFL even after a senior. We've seen a lot of juniors where they get drafted, these quarterbacks, and then they end up doing nothing. And you're hurting the kid. You're hurting the kid, the student.
Skeet, I think in the athletic form, what the NFL has done, why they made it like a 3 year sort of thing, was that your body has to mature to a certain point.
Well, the male body isn't fully grown until 23, 24.
Right. And when you come into the NFL and they know that you have a chance really there, they know, like, oh, okay, this kid can gain 20 pounds. We're going to feed him steaks and all that. It's great. We can do that. But for a lot of times when you go into the NFL, it is a brutal business. You better be the biggest man of your life for you being a man at that time. Because if you go in there, a little underage baby, and thinking, oh, I can do this and that. No, they're not only going to hurt you, they are going to hurt you for life. Like, I'm
asking. Right, right. It's not like baseball. Baseball is different. You can play Major League Baseball at 17, 18 years old. It's different than football. Football, like you were saying, again, you're not fully grown till 23, 24. And when you're coming into the league at 20, oh, my God, 20, 21, you're taking these guys who are completely fully grown and are much faster than you've ever seen before. One hit and that's it. You can't go back to college and finish your college because you can't walk. You know, you're out now.
Well, no, and that's why, like, in basketball where they only have, like, 1 year or whatever, this, that. But a basketball 18, 19-year-old kid going into the NBA, you can play, but I will tell you there's going to be a difference. No matter how big, how strong, how fast you are at 18, 19, going into the NBA. Like trunks, like they are wide bodied. They are, so you can jump faster than them. You can run faster than them. You can do some other things that they can't. But the first time that you get boxed out or you go up for a rebound or something and they put up their physical punishment, dude, you are going to black out. You're going to have a concussion or a semi-concussion, and you're going to still play because you don't even know that's possible, and you're like, right. Wow.
Well, we do got to get to the picks, but I will say this. I think it should be up to the NFL. Use your head. Why would you want to take this kid, invest all this money in this kid, when you have a good – at least a 75% chance he's going to be out within a year or two. You know, the NFL needs to smarten up and think about what they're doing. And, you know, where are the parents of these kids? How come they're not saying, hey, son, you know?
Now that you mentioned that, there is a story I'd like to quickly tell before we do the picks. A person I'm really proud of right now. And it really sucks because he's an Ohio State quarterback, a former Ohio State quarterback. But C.J. Stroud, I just found out, not only did he break the NFL record for a rookie in one performance in a lot of different categories, which was great. It was a great game. Actually, it was a phenomenal game. But I did find out his dad is in prison, and he won't get out until 2040. So by the time C.J. Stroud probably finishes his career, his dad will have never seen him play a live NFL football game.
Well, that is tragedy. But, hey, look, NFL.
He built himself up. Look where he's at right now. We're talking about the Houston Texans being a possible playoff team. This year, not next year, not 2 years from now, this year. Who would have saw the Houston Texans being a possible playoff team this year?
Well, I did not. But I hate to admit it, but they are playing.
They're a fun
team
to watch.
They're
a fun team to watch offensively, defensively. It's a young, hungry team, you know? I don't know. And I don't even like the Texans, to be honest. Let's get to the picks.
This is a time of season where things start shaping up. Teams like Cincinnati have been dragging their feet. Now they're picking it up. Other teams that was doing good are now, you know, showing their true colors. So it is going to be, this is going to be another very telling and interesting week. We do have the first game, which again is in Germany. It's Indianapolis Colts in New England. So what do we got? What are the numbers on that?
The Indianapolis Colts gig in North London, Patriotin, plus Spy, Heimat, Dion Fiatic, plus minus.
Yeah. Well,
so the Indianapolis Colts are playing against the New England Patriots. The Patriots have a home game, actually, in Germany. They are getting 2 points, and the over-under is 43.
Well, I talked to Brother X about this, and I said, you know, when they go over to Germany or to England, it really matters on who can handle that big, long flight better. Well, and then he brought up that they're making such a big deal about New England. Oh, they got a perfect record of being overseas. Well, they had one game in London, two games in London and one game in Mexico City. And that's back when Brady was on the team and they were playing teams like the old hapless Raiders and the old when the Rams were sucking it and somebody else. And it's like, don't, you know, I mean, stop trying to turn this, you know, that's ridiculous. This is a completely different Patriots team. And look, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with the Patriots, but I cannot imagine Belichick being a Patriot next year. I don't see it.
I like him getting traded to Washington still. I love it. He's been traded.
I'm just wondering, though, but does Belichick really have enough energy to completely restart another team?
If he did it, I know he'd rather do it in the NFC than the AFC. And then on top of it, if he really was going to do that, Washington from Foxborough isn't that far away. Like, it's not that, like, he could keep his home wherever he's at right now and still make the commute. And have
Well, I think Washington is, you know, their new owner, he is wanting to turn that team into something. And he's taking it serious, and, you know, he's rebuilding.
No, I'm going to ask you a really quick question. Do you know a lot of Redskin fans or Commanders fans of football team, right? Okay.
None.
I happen to get into this weird little world through one person, and they are passionate about their team. They have been passionate about their organization. They've been passionate about a lot of different things besides bad ownership and the league and whatever. If they
Washington is a small market.
That they, Bill Belichick will now retire in football if he wants to.
Right. But, I mean, Washington, you know, you've got the fans. You're either Baltimore or Redskins or football team, whatever they are now. But, I mean, it is a small market. It's not a big market team. And they've got
It's only area-based, only right, because the other teams, like in New York, like that's pretty much when you go northeast, that's pretty much where you're already looking. That the first real team is Philly, and you already don't like Philly, so Philly fans and Washington fans aren't going to mix. And then slightly left of that is Pittsburgh, and they're their own separate thing. So now you're really heading towards the New York teams. Well, they're New York fans. I mean, that's – so, yeah, the Washington, D.C. market is kind of limited really to your Delawares and Rhode Island Well, probably not even that. Who knows?
Well, it's no, just... it's politicians that are selling their, you know, tickets to, you know, people. But there's not a lot of, you don't see people walking around with, you know, a Washington jersey on. You know, you see Raiders, you see Steelers are everywhere. Steelers are all over. Raiders are all over. There's a lot of, you know, there's Philly teams, the Patriots are all over, but you don't see Washington teams all over. You just don't see that. And when was the last time we saw a Washington player in a commercial? When was the last time you saw him in a commercial? You know, a Washington player. When was the last time you saw him, you know, anywhere where, oh, he's a Washington, you know. But we see it with the Patriots.
Like Dexter Manley.
But you just don't see them.
No.
Well, anyway, I'm going to Indianapolis. Brother X is going Indy. I can't go with New England. I don't care. Belichick or not. I mean, that team is awful. They've got nothing going on offensively, defensively.
Oh, no. And here's the thing. Like, I love this sometimes with the NFL. Like, you count out certain teams, and you're saying there's no way. And then all of a sudden, one win happens. And then they happen to get this other team that's down on their luck. And then you're like, what is going on? But Indianapolis is a better team than what most people have realized all season.
I agree, too.
John Taylor came back. He's like, they have a really good defense. They always have had a good defense. And New England, to be honest, has played so bad. And then what's really sad is a lot of times people just want to say, Mac Jones, quarterback, right? Just blame it on that. You look at some of his stats compared to other quarterbacks. Let's say Trevor Lawrence, right? You take the stats between Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence right now, and the only difference besides win for the organizations is 1,000 total passing yards. Everything else is almost identical. Identical. So when people put just losses blamed on quarterbacks, this or that, but you know what? There's a hidden gem there. He is down by 1,000 yards, right? So now 1,000 yards, what does that mean? Mac Jones just throws short passes. That's what
he
that tells me.
He just throws the ball. He doesn't throw it anywhere.
No. Good quarterbacks can still throw it 50 yards in the air, and then there's yak after that, right? So a good quarterback can still throw it 30 yards in the air, and there's good yak after that here or there. So if they have very similar statistics, literally, then that 1,000 yards tells me that Mac Jones, when he actually throws and connects, they're only like 5-8 yard passes, and then these dudes get the yak after that, which that's the difference when you have a bad football team or
well,
a bad record.
You know, I'm starting to like this Minshew. I always like Minshew anyway. And...
Oh, dude, he has the best facial hair ever.
I just like his style.
I've seen him with the porn 70s stash.
Yeah, I like his style. You know, he's himself. And you got to respect that. If somebody's not trying to be somebody else. Other than just playing themselves, and that's what you like. That's what you got to respect about somebody like that. So are you going in?
Yeah, I'm going Indy hard on this, and I think the only way that they lose this game is exactly one of the things that we've talked about on the show that you brought that up. that time difference.
For the travel.
I have went to Germany a couple times in my life, and I remember both times when I first got there, it took 1 week for me to get balanced, and it took 2 days the other time. But the 2 days was I did that the second time within 1 year. So I'm not sure if that was a factor, but yeah, I think if it's your first time ever traveling overseas for the rookies or the younger players, I think that'll be the bigger factor as compared to the team that has the most veterans that have traveled overseas ahead of time. And when you say play Mexico, that doesn't count. No.
Right.
London or Germany or something past that. Mexico, you might as well call it Texas or Arizona.
It doesn't count. It doesn't count.
Right. That's not the same, but, man. Not. No, it's literally not.
You know, it's just too far to keep doing these games over there. I don't know. Have a European league where it is kind of like, league and we have, I know, but let me finish. You have their league and you have our league in America.
Right.
Now,
yes.
Either one of these teams, if they wanted to, can trade. You can go from the European league and you can make it like a AAA. But with this cross stuff, and I'm sure a lot of teams don't like to go over to England, over to Germany. I guarantee you, the overwhelming vast majority of players do not like it.
I've literally seen it that certain players did not go to the game because they didn't have a prior passport or their passport wasn't expedited at a certain time.
Well, a lot because of owners won't bring their team over there either. Some owners will not go, and I don't blame them.
Well, no, it was a really weird thing when I was over there that when you look at how the world looked at sport, NFL football is not as big as you think. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not. Like, they love American baseball over football, normally. And they're big soccer. Every one of them are soccer people, dude. And volleyball, actually, is sometimes more important. That's what I'm saying. Baseball is, like, but NFL football is so unique that the only time that they'll actually watch it and know it's a good game is the Super Bowl.
Well, a lot of those tickets,
right? If you were watching the best in premier soccer leagues in Europe, you just want to watch the one game against the best, right? Just you?
Well,
and
the,
you care about it, right?
I know, but the fans, they're showing a lot of fans in the stands, but I can guarantee you a lot of those seats are comps, and they're just bringing people in.
No. Skeet, they already ran the European leagues earlier. If you only give them one game to go to per year or two, they all show up. But if it's
I know, but what I'm saying is, they're not. They're bringing in a lot of comps, meaning these are complimentary tickets. And they're bringing people over, and they're giving these tickets out. So they make it, we're just trying to fill the stands. It's not like NFL is that popular in Germany. Europe or England is getting a little more popular, but Germany doesn't care about American football. I don't care. They don't care about it. They care about soccer. They care about some of them. Hockey is big, but football is not. And I don't know. Well, anyway, we do got to move on. We're running out of time. We got an hour to do the rest of these picks. This is Cleveland in Baltimore. I like this game, and I got a hunch, and I'm sticking with it. Same with Brother X. Anyway, what are the numbers on this, Cleveland and Baltimore?
The Cleveland Browns are playing against the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are giving the Browns 6.5 points, but the over-under is 38, so I don't think anybody thinks it's going to be high scoring.
Well, I got a hunch that, look, Jackson's got to come down at some point. These guys have got to lose, and why not lose to Cleveland? I need to catch up, you know, but I'm going to go Cleveland. I'm going Cleveland.
All right. Well, to be honest, this is one of those tough games that people don't know. If they don't even know history of football, right? This is the Hatfield versus the McCoys. Literally. You're telling me Art Modell, when he moved his organization to Cleveland, to Baltimore, his mansion in Baltimore was sold the next day, and he was gone. He was gone. So
they packed everything up in the middle of the night. They put it all on buses in the middle of the night, and they left Cleveland without telling anybody because they knew they would be attacked if they, you know. Seriously, that's why they left.
Like physically harmed.
Yeah, they left in the middle of the night.
The Cleveland Browns, right? One of the oldest teams in the NFL at that point. Wasn't one of the original teams?
They're one of the oldest. Them in Detroit and Pittsburgh, they're one of the oldest.
Yeah, the Chicago, Green Bay, there's some other ones.
I think the Giants are been there long. Cleveland is one of the oldest.
So Green Bay. So these teams hate each other, but here's the thing: Cleveland, is Deshaun Watson playing this game? That is a factor. If Deshaun Watson's playing, I have Cleveland. If he's not, I'm going Baltimore.
I think he's still playing.
No, he didn't play last week. It was the other dude.
Well, no, Watson played a little bit last week.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Here's what they have. They have Thompson Robinson, who is the backup quarterback, and they've got him listed as coach's decision. So we're not going to find out who's playing until 5 minutes before.
No, and if you're bringing in Deshaun Watson, well, here's one thing that I said last week before the Ravens played Seattle. And I tried to equate it to how I only knew math-wise. And I was like, Detroit and Seattle played such a good game, and it was close. It went to overtime. Detroit went to Seattle and got decimated. Seattle went to Baltimore and got decimated. That team can tear you apart right away, and let alone at home. That whole team is humming. I mean, last week...
I know, but they got to come down at some point.
515 yards total offense to Seattle's 151.
Well, they've got to come down at some point.
Here's the fact, Olski. This is how you get 515 to 151. You had 29 first downs, and Seattle had 6.
No, I know.
So we already know about Cleveland's defense, right? Their offense, I'm not so sure So I just think this offense for Baltimore is better than you think. They're going to create theirs. Yeah, I'm going with Baltimore just because it's at home. If this game was in Cleveland, I would still even go with the backup quarterback. But that if Deshaun Watson was on that Cleveland team right now, which they need him, he should be. And I hope he does come into this game and he wins I would be nothing happier to see Cleveland beat Baltimore.
Watson is suiting up. He's not on the IR. He's suiting up. It all depends on who they're gonna, who the coach decides. You know, it's gonna have to be, they're not gonna tell anybody.
Yeah, but here's also a thing that happened to Detroit, happened to Seattle. You play against certain tough, hit you in your mouth teams, like a Baltimore at home. Your team is banged up. I guarantee it. It doesn't matter, dude. You got some players hurt.
We do got to get going, but I do want to see Lamar Jackson on his butt all afternoon. And this is a perfect team to do it. Cleveland being, Cleveland and Baltimore, this is the perfect team to do it. We'll find out. I mean, Baltimore's got to crash and burn. They've only got one loss. They got to lose another one.
No, that Cleveland defense anyways, dude. They are amazing.
So we'll see. All right, this one should be a real easy one. This is Green Bay and Pittsburgh all the way. What are the numbers, though?
The Green Bay Packers playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Steel Curtain, and Steelers are giving away 3 points to the Packers, and the over-under is 39.
Yeah, I think that should be Pittsburgh's going to beat that spread. They're going to beat that spread. 3 points. Mm-hmm. No. All right, looks like we got Lou on board. Lou, my good friend, welcome aboard. Happy Saturday.
Thanks, Captain.
Okay. So what's who's going to win, Green Bay or Pittsburgh, Lou?
I'm going to go with the Steelers.
There you go. And Seth?
Yeah, I'm a homer.
Yeah. Yeah, we started way late. This is only our third pick. unbelievable. All right, this next game, this is going to be a really, really, really good game because Houston is playing – much better football than we've seen them play in a long time. Cincinnati is finally starting to play Cincinnati football. They're in Cincinnati. This is a really I'm looking forward to this football game. And I'm hoping, and I'm picking Cincinnati, but I'm really hoping that they beat the crap out of them, but they probably won't. It's going to be a hard-fought game. What are the numbers on this, Seth?
The Houston Texans are playing against the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals are giving away 6.5 points to the Texans, and the over-under is 47.
6.5 might be, I don't know if Cincinnati's going to beat that spread unless they're really, really back. But I think it's going to be, I think Cincinnati is going to have to, they're going to have to sing for their supper. They're going to have to earn it. They're not going to just – I know they're playing at home, and they're going to have to earn it. So, okay, Lou, what do you got on this?
Wait, which game?
Houston and Cincinnati.
Kind of a toss-up, but I think I'm going to go with Houston.
Ooh. How about you, Seth? I like it. How about you, Seth?
I love both these teams. I think this is going to be a great game to watch. But the way Joe Burrows is playing right now, I ain't going against the guy right now. Not right now. Somebody beat him while he's playing like this. Because the way he's playing, He wants an AFC championship shot at KC. So well, I'm going
Cincinnati. Well, here's the thing. If Cincinnati wants to make the playoffs, they've got to win. They've got to win out. They've got to win this game. If they lose this game, their chances of getting a wild card are, it's going to be very tough because Buffalo, the Jets, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, now you have Houston in the mix, Indianapolis in the mix, maybe the Chargers. So, yeah, you can't afford to lose. Cincinnati cannot afford to lose this game. If it was in Houston, it might be, Houston might have a better chance. But they're playing in Cincinnati? No.
Yeah.
And the way they're on a four-game winning streak, no way is Cincinnati going to lose this game. No way. So we'll get the Vipers pick. How about New Orleans in Minnesota? I love this game. This is another game. And Dobbs, I'm telling you, this kid, I know he's been really, a phenomenal year for being a nobody. And he was playing on Arizona, and Arizona is an awful team. But he's actually been doing pretty good. And then he gets traded to Minnesota, not even supposed to start, come in and speaks up the joint for a couple of plays, turns around and brings them back and wins the game. I think they're on, I think Minnesota right now is on a high. I got to look at Minnesota. But what are these numbers, Seth?
The New Orleans Saints, the Aints, are playing against the Minnesota Vikings, Scrota. Scrota at home is getting 3 points, and the over-under is 41.
Yeah, I'm still not convinced with Carr.
Neither am I.
I know. I'm just not. They're both, I think they're both, 4-3, 4-4, whatever. What are they?
I think Minnesota is 5-4.
No, they're both 5-4. They're both 5-4. They're both, And I don't know how Minnesota's got 5 wins.
This is a tiebreaker, maybe going for a wild card in the NFC. Really?
No, I know it is. Absolutely is. Because you've got Seattle and Frisco fighting for the division or a wild card. You've got Minnesota now is in contention. They're right up there. Plus, you got Dallas. So, absolutely, this is kind of a playoff game here of who gets the wild card. And you can't lose any. If you lose this game, you got to hope the other team loses out and you win out. Because it's going to get very, very tough to make up this game if you whoever loses. Well, I'm going Minnesota. Brother X went New Orleans. Lou, where are you on this?
I got the Saints.
You got the Saints. The Yanks. Okay.
Yeah.
Underdog. So, Seth, you going Scrotum?
No. Actually, I was really impressed last week with Josh Dobbs did. He went 20 for 30, 158 yards passing, but he had 66 yards rushing. He went for one TD rushing, two TDs passing. He did all
that's
this
right
on a team that he's only been on for 3 days. But here's the factor. This is the fifth team he's been on in 2 years, maybe three. So... that was a one-game fluke, and Derek Carr settled in. Good night. Good night.
I don't know. When he was in Arizona, they weren't winning, but he was actually putting up some good stuff. Dobbs was actually doing pretty good in Arizona. They weren't winning, but they don't have a team in Arizona.
Nope.
So I don't know. I think they're going to ride the Dobbs train here. But I will find out. So you're going New Orleans. I'm sure Viper will go New Orleans. Now, this next game, this is San Francisco in Jacksonville. Now, San Francisco cannot afford. They're just coming off a bye, and this is a very difficult game. You're coming off a bye, off a three-game losing streak, and now you got to go into Jacksonville. San Francisco is going to have to bring their A game, and I'm talking their A-plus game, and they're going to have to play. They mean it. So what are the numbers on that?
The San Francisco 49ers playing against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars at home are getting 3 points, and the over-under is 45.
Yeah. Now, I mean, Jacksonville's at 6-2. Frisco is, 5-3? We'll find out. I mean, we're going to find out if San Francisco just had a – you know, sometimes the NFL, these teams will just go on a losing streak. Like, look at Kansas City. Remember, they went on a 5-game losing streak, and then at the end of the year, they had a trophy in their hand. So, you know, it doesn't really mean a whole lot, but, you know, San Francisco cannot afford to lose because Seattle is right there with them. They're both 5-3. So Frisco's got to come out. They got to win. I'm going San Francisco. I know Brother X went San Francisco. Where are you on this, Lou?
49ers.
What was that?
49ers.
49ers. 49ers. So where are you on this, Seth?
Man, I was going to go with the 49ers until everybody kept saying this. And you know what? I believed in this Jacksonville team for a while. I said they would be here right where they're going to be. This is a perfect opportunity to give San Francisco a fourth loss in a row.
And they can do it.
Jacksonville.
Well, see, that's what I'm talking about. Frisco, you're coming off a three-game losing streak. You got a bye. And now you got to go into Jacksonville. Yeah, coming home after a bye would be a different story, but coming home and playing a hot Jacksonville team,
you're literally talking West Coast to East Coast. That's as far as you can go.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing. They're going all the way across the country. You know, if they would have gone to L.A., it would have been different, but. So,
time difference.
Yeah, this is a test for San Francisco. And if they can get over this, then you know, okay, Frisco is back. But if they lose to Jacksonville, then you gotta kind of wonder what's going on in San Francisco.
I think the point differential of 3 points is pretty accurate. So if they lose to Jacksonville, it's by 3 or 4. No big deal.
It is going to be a big deal because, you know, coming down the stretch, you want to win that division. it's going to be a fun, hard fought game. There's a couple other ones. We'll get into it later.
Really, as a football fan, I would like to watch this game.
Absolutely. This has got playoff implications as well. Absolutely. It may not be, they're not in the same conference, but it's a must win for both teams. They've got to keep it up. Otherwise, you lose right now. One loss right now is basically two losses. You can't afford to lose right now. This is the time of the year. Well, this next game, this is another game that it may not be very consequential as far as any playoff implications or anything, but this is a pride game, and this is Tennessee in Tampa Bay. I really like this game. What are the numbers on this, huh?
Tennessee and Tampa Bay?
Yep.
Oh, I don't have the game. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'll get up real quick.
I did have him. I looked at him today. I think Tampa is favored by like two and a half.
Two?
Let me see. Yeah, 2.5. The Buccaneers are favored by 2.5. Let's see what their over under.
Tampa.
And the over under is 9. So Tennessee and Tampa Bay. Tampa is favored by 2.5 and a 39 over under. I like Tennessee. I want to support Levis. Tampa Bay, you know, they started off with a little promise, but they're just not, I don't know, they're missing something. They're starting to slip, and I'm just going Tennessee. Brother X is Tennessee. So, Lou, where are you on this?
Tampa.
Tampa, I like it. Well, I mean, it basically is a pick'em. I know they're playing Tampa.
Yes.
I'd love to see Tampa Bay win because I like Tampa Bay and I love Mayfield. But they're just not getting it done. So.
I wasn't even aware of this game somehow on CBS Sports. So, thank you. But, yeah, I'm going to go with Tampa just because they're at home. If it was at Tennessee, I'd go with Tennessee. This is what I think of these two teams right now where they're at. But they can still be playoff teams. You know what I mean? So I'm just going with the home team.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm just hoping that Willis or Levis – I'm hoping he's having a good game. I like this kid. I liked him when they drafted him. I wanted to see him go earlier, but I'm glad that he went to Tennessee. And I think it's a perfect pick for him. I think it's a perfect team for him. I think Tennessee has something to build on now. Henry, I think, is going to have to go next year. He should have gone 2 years ago after he got injured. He never has been the same. So we'll find out. All right, next game, Atlanta in Arizona, and Hail Mary is coming back. Woo! Oh, God. Well, I mean, I like Atlanta. I really, you know, they're kind of disappointing me a little bit, and I hope we do not see, you know, because Murray's coming back, and they're playing in Arizona, and they rally around. I don't want to see that. I want to see Atlanta beat the snot out of them. So what are the numbers on this, Seth?
The Atlanta Falcons, the Dirty Birds, are playing against the AZ Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals at home are getting 1.5 points, and the over-under is 43.5.
Yeah, I'm going the filthy, dirty Honorary Birds over Arizona.
Wow.
So, Lou, what do you got?
Dirty Birds.
Dirty Birds. So, Seth, what do you got?
I'm Dirty Birdie.
Oh, yeah, I got to go Dirty Birds, too. Even if AZ wins this game, it's not doing anything for your team. It's okay. It'll be all right.
Well, no, I mean, this game is a nothing game. Neither one of these teams, even if Atlanta does make it into the playoffs, they're not doing nothing.
Playoff hunt. AZ, yeah, your season
is not going anywhere near no playoffs.
No, the only person that wants to win on AZ right now is Kyler Murray to keep a job in the NFL. Yeah. Yeah, they're looking at draft. They want Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
Not that far from USC. Give us a chance, Caleb.
Yeah, I don't see Murray. Murray's a backup next year somewhere. All right, now I really like this game. This is Detroit in the Los Angeles Chargers. I've lost all that love and feeling for the Chargers. I have supported this team, even with Rivers. I have been supporting this team, and they have just broken my heart too many times. I'm done with them. I'm done with them, and I do love Detroit. I do love the way that they are playing, and I don't care if they're playing in Chargers or not. I think Detroit comes in and has their way with them. What are the numbers on this?
The Detroit Lions are playing against the Los Angeles Chargers. The Chargers at home are actually getting 3 points, and the over-under is 48.5.
Yeah, Detroit beats that spread. Detroit beats that spread. 3 points is a little weak. But, I mean, that's me. But, I know Herbert. But, I mean, Herbert hasn't really been doing pretty much. And I don't know. The Chargers are what, 4-4? I think now, are they 4-5? Let's see. Yeah, they're 4-4. I was right. They're 4-4. I'm surprised they got 4 wins. So,
about the Chargers' chances at the playoffs in the AFC, they have to win this game. If they go 4-5 in the AFC, they might be out of it now.
Well, you've got Houston at 4-4, Indy at 4-5, Vegas at 4-5. You've got Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh all at 5-3. You've got Buffalo at 5-4, the Jets at 4-4. And you're right. If the Chargers lose this game, that's it. Their season's over. Just dust off your golf clubs.
They're not going to sift through all that stuff, being the Chargers team that they are now and have been in the last 2-3 years, right? Not
right.
No, they're that team that somehow ends up like 10-6 at the end.
I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it. They did it last year, but I don't know.
No, yeah, you just eliminated the Chargers.
Well, yeah, it's going to be.
And look at it from the Detroit standpoint. They know if they lose this game, they could still maybe make the NFC playoffs, let alone maybe win their own division. So they don't have that stress on their back. But if you told your defense, hey, you can take them out of the playoff hunt today. Man, that's extra incentive, in my opinion.
Well, that's what they did last year to Green Bay. But, see, if Detroit loses, you've got Minnesota, and if Minnesota wins, now, Detroit.
Oh, yeah, it gets weird. But let that happen. There's a lot of things that happen both ways. But I'm going to go with the Lions on this pick only because I think they know no matter what, that defense can go helter-skelter against Herbert, and they're going to find them, dude. They're going to sack Herbert a lot or hurry him, rush him.
Detroit smells the division, and they're not going to want to let it go.
Yep.
And I think they've got the personnel to get it done. They smell it. They can touch it. They can feel it.
They're coming off a bye week.
They're ready.
They've rested all week. they've had extra defensive guys and offensive guys that haven't been in the lineup for a while. They're ready. Everybody's ready. But it's still with Justin Herbert at L.A. Man, that team can score a lot of points, and you blink, and they score those points.
I know, but they just haven't been doing it. And I don't trust them. So, all right, Lou, who do you got?
Which game?
Detroit Chargers.
Oh, the Lions, of course. Lions, of course.
Yeah. Now, this is going to be a fun game. Now, this next one, I do know the over-under on this one. I mean, not the over-under, but I do know the spread.
Yeah.
Oh,
it must be G-Men.
It's the G-Men in Dallas. Now, these two teams normally is always going to be a good game because most often both teams are kind of close to each other and it can be very competitive. This year, the Giants are not competitive. Dallas is, and Dallas can't afford to lose right now either because they got Washington creeping up. They got Minnesota creeping up. They can't afford to lose. So this, and they already beat the Giants 40-0 week one. And I think Dallas, I want to see a 50-burger. This is what I want to see. And it is definitely going to be, what is it, 17, 17 and a half? What are the numbers?
The New York Giants, the G-Men, are playing against the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys are giving the G-Men 17 points, and the over-under is 39. Which means they don't think they're going to score anything.
Well, I just – see, here's the thing. They're playing in Dallas. And, look, Dallas, you know, really is not – if you look at who they beat, Dallas really hasn't beat anybody. And so they're going to gang up and they're going to beat up bully the Giants because they know they can. And they know they can add another W. And that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a score fest. And the Giants are, well, Danny Dimebag, he's out for the year. They've got
These guys just pulled the Eagles tush push on Danny.
Right.
And Danny got clobbered too.
Yeah, that is, I mean.
The massacre of Masada.
Lou, I know you're a Jets fan, but.
Cowboys.
Yeah, okay, exactly. I didn't have to even finish. And Seth, I mean, I know you love the G-Men, but.
No, I'm going Cowgirls.
You got to on this.
Yeah.
You'd
be foolish not to.
Not without points.
No, and
straight up.
And I think they beat that 17 spread. I think they beat it.
Oh, dude, this is going to be a massacre. It's going to be like 38-3.
Well, you know, if Giants score at all, it's only going to be by a field goal. I would be very surprised if they scored a touchdown. They might. They might score one, but I would be surprised. I think you're going to see nothing but a couple of field goals.
Your quarterback right now, DeVito or Tavito.
Yeah. Danny DeVito.
It might as well be Danny DeVito.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Danny DeVito's playing, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter who's playing. Jesus Christ could be playing. And the Giants just are an awful, awful, awful football team. And they're playing for a draft right now, draft picks. And that's it. And I would not want to get drafted by the Giants next year. I would not want to get drafted by that team.
I'd want my dad to be a Manning.
Yeah, You know, if you're going in the draft, you might want to take these last three games of the season and start tanking a little.
Yeah.
He still doesn't want his kid to go to a crappy place like San Diego. Just saying.
Yeah. Or start a rumor that, you know, you were,
he'd be,
you know, there's always these draft rumors. You know, there, you know, there's always a draft rumor. And then that's what happened last year with Levis. There was a rumor about, I can't even remember what it was. It was stupid. And so these teams, oh, I'm not going to do that. So, but no, I think Levis is going to be good in the NFL. We'll see his, we're going to be hearing his name a lot in the next couple of years. So, all right, this next one. We talked a lot, Seth, about Washington. This is Washington in Seattle. What are the numbers on this?
The Washington football team is playing against the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks are giving away 6.5 points, and the over-under is 44.5.
Yeah, Seattle should win this game, but Seattle, every time they lose, they don't lose by the other team beating them. They lose by Seattle losing. And let me tell you about Seattle. We hate Geno Smith. We want him out. And after the game last week, oh, my God, all of my sites that I have on Facebook for the Seahawks, there was nothing good to say about Geno. Of course, you're paying this guy. He's a backup quarterback, and you're paying him $50 million a year. I mean, get the hell out of here. He is a – the Jets fired him. You know who Geno Smith is, Lou. You know why they fired him.
Yes.
He's – God almighty, he was awful. So –
yeah, and then he gets shipped out somewhere else, and now he has a great job. Just –
yeah, I don't know. I don't understand that. But Seattle should win this game. But I
absolutely
wouldn't be a bit surprised, though. Washington is a kind of a team. They're a little scrappy. If you blink, they'll take advantage of you. You
right.
Don't. You gotta keep. You gotta play all 60 minutes with that team. 59 minutes and 59 seconds is not 60. But I'm going to go Seattle because I'm a homer, and I want to see them win. So, Lou, what do you have?
I have Seattle.
Good. I like it. So, Seth, I mean, this is going to be a good football game. And that 3 points, I think that is I think that's absolutely right where it's going to be.
I think with the Washington football team, when people saw Chase Young leave and go to the San Francisco 49ers, I thought everybody was going to say there was disarray. Well, there's a lot of different things that have been happening with the organization. And on top of it,
yep.
Sam Howell, as a quarterback, you better be starting to look at him. Because right now, he is 4-0 against Super Bowl-winning coaches. And I think Pete Carroll has a Super Bowl. So,
that's how I said, yes.
That alone, I'm going Washington.
Yeah, Washington is not a bad pick. And if I was betting money, I would put money on Washington. But I'm a homer, so I got to go Seattle. But I would not be one bit surprised if Washington didn't come into Seattle and beat them. And Geno Smith is going to be the reason. But we've only got Locke. That's our backup. So, all right, this next game,
he's
I like
good.
This.
Bronco has been.
Yeah. This
all
is
right.
A Sunday night
no,
game.
No, you're backing up Geno Smith. Think about that. Think about what.
I know.
You can't even beat him in a job. But you're backing him up.
Well, I think Locke never got any love when he came up. I think he came up in Denver.
Dude, I think he's actually a pretty good quarterback, to be honest.
I never had any problems with him at all. I liked him in Denver, and then they just got rid of him, and nobody likes him. And I don't know why. I don't know why Carroll doesn't like him.
Mm.
You know, I mean, the guy just, you know, he needs to play, and he can learn. And he can grow, but when he's not getting an opportunity, how are you going to grow? How are you going to get better? You're not.
Yeah.
It ain't going to happen. But I say get rid of Geno and put in Locke, and let's see what can happen. What's the worst that's going to happen? You know, I mean.
Seriously, right now, Seattle's still in playoff contention again.
Oh, no, they're tied with Frisco at 5-3. So this is a must-win for Seattle. They can't afford to be screwing around. And if Geno Smith, I mean, look, if Pete Carroll keeps him in the whole game and he's stinking up the joint, look, Seattle's going to erupt.
But, isn't Washington 4-5 or 3-5? I think 4-5, right?
Washington's 4-5, yeah.
Yeah, you're 5-5. In the NFC, you're in the playoff hunt. You ain't worried. Mm-hmm. Not in the NFC.
Yeah.
Have a winning record.
But if Seattle drops down to 5-4, you know, that's going to hurt them wild card-wise. Because Minnesota right now, 5-4. Minnesota could very easily win this game. Dallas is at 5-3 right now.
You lost to them.
Dallas is at 5-3 right now, and you know they're going to beat the Giants. So if Seattle loses this game, it's going to be difficult to catch up. And there's a lot of teams that are hungry. So, I mean, it's a must-win for both teams. There's more pressure on Seattle than there is on Washington. Washington, there's no pressure on Washington. And that's what makes them win.
We're seeing, just like with Washington a couple of years ago, when Heineke came into the league and he was a rookie, this refreshing whatever. Sam Howell is kind of doing it for Washington right now. No one can explain
But
I guarantee you, these Washington fans are very passionate. They're loving this guy.
Well, that's what makes Washington scary, is because there is no pressure on them. They're playing in their backyard right now. This is backyard football. They don't care. Whether they win or lose, if they lose, okay, they get another draft pick. They can't lose. So they're going to come out there in Seattle. You're going to have to do it. So, all right, next game. This is dumpster fire of the week. New York Jets against the Las Vegas Raiders. What are the numbers?
The New York Jets. The Jets. Jets versus the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders are getting 1 point at home, and the over-under is 36.5. Wow.
Wait a minute. I thought the Jets were favored.
No, the Raiders are getting 1 at home.
No, I got the Jets on CBS Sports. I got the Jets favored by 1.
I did it at, what was it, 1,500, 1,600 today?
Mm.
Yeah. No.
Well, look, it really doesn't matter who gets the point.
Yeah,
it's a pick 'em.
Right. Who do you like?
Right. And I don't care if they're playing in Vegas or not. And here's the thing about Wilson with the Jets. He's very inconsistent. He has a good game, then a bad game, good game, bad. Well, he had a bad game last week, so he's due for a good game. And the Raiders, and I said it last week, I said, yeah, you know, they're going to win the game, but that's going to be it. They got their one game with their new coach, and they fired, and that's it. But the Jets right now, it is a must-win for the Jets. I think they can they can start to smell a playoff berth, and hopefully Rodgers still seems to think
hold on. We got three people on the line right now that know New York Jets football for a while, at least a little bit. This offense right now in the last two games has been beyond stagnant. So your defense, the rest of your team, we know it. Yes, if Zach Wilson does something, that's fine. But are they going to score some points this week or what? I'm just asking you guys.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They have a bad game. You know, he's very inconsistent, and I think the Jets, I think they can smell they need another win. Bad. And why not beat up on the hapless, you know, Raiders? Now, what was the over-under on this? 20?
One point.
No,
36 and a half, which is saying no team's going to score anything.
I'm going under on that. I'll take the under on that one all day. I think we're looking at maybe one touchdown by the Jets and maybe one by the Raiders, but the rest is maybe field goals, maybe a safety. I don't see it. I'd be surprised if they break 21. Yeah. But I'm going Jets.
Oh, and isn't this kind of funny that everybody is still talking about Aaron Rodgers coming back, blah, blah, blah. No, unbelievable story. It's a great story.
Because everybody is wanting him to come back
That doesn't mean anything, right?
Well, everybody wants him to come back because they didn't want him going down, and they're watching this team slip into the abyss with Wilson, which I never liked him. I don't know why they drafted him, but So, Lou, what do you see on this game? I mean, I think he does have a realistic chance of beating the Raiders.
Yeah, I think they'll make – recoup from the mistakes from last week, you know, against the Chargers. So I do see the Jets coming with a win here.
Yeah, well, they have to. I mean, if the Jets lose, I think then Rodgers is not coming back because they're not going to be anywhere near contention.
I don't think he's going to come back anyway.
Well, they say that he's due to come back week 18, which is the last game of the season, and he ain't coming back last week. Especially if they're not anywhere near playoff berth. But if the Jets lose this week, then Rodgers is not coming back ever until next year.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So if they want Rodgers to come back so they can have a chance, they've got to win this game. And Raiders, if you're playing for pride, and I still don't think there's a lot of pride on that team right now. Yeah, you got rid of your coach, didn't like him, blah, blah, blah. You know, and Garoppolo just wasn't getting it done. Of course, he didn't have a team, but, I mean, look, when you've got a guy like Devontae Adams and you keep throwing the ball over his head, you know, you're going to lose your job.
And your mind too.
Yeah. So,
your mind, your marbles, everything else.
Exactly. So, Seth, are you with the Jets?
No, I've got the Raiders. And it's still a fun They're going to do everything they were doing. Antonio Pierce, the head coach now. I like it. And Jacobs had two rushing touchdowns last week. And I think Max Crosby went a little crazy. They're going to do some certain things that the other coach didn't let them do. And they're going helter-skelter, dude. This is like old school Raiders football you haven't seen in a while. So, but that Jets defense, it's going to be a tough game, but I'm still going with the Raiders.
Raiders. Again, it is a pick 'em. I mean, it is, you know, flip a coin, really. It is the dumb fire of the week.
Okay, I'll take that. You can take Tails.
Yeah. Now, this next one should be, we've only got about 5 minutes. Well, we got a little more than that. This should be an easy pick. This is Denver in Buffalo. I don't care that Denver, you're okay, you beat KC, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And Buffalo right now cannot afford to lose. Look, if Buffalo loses this game right now, they're losing, they lose their chance. They're getting a wild card, and it really makes it very difficult. Right now, what is their record now? I think they got they're 5-4.
Right,
Buffalo's 5-4. Yeah. They cannot afford to go 5-5.
Yeah,
not
no.
In the AFC.
No, dude, 5-5 right now. I mean, you still have a chance, but what that says, you got to win out. To make a wild card.
Yeah.
To make a wild card, you have to win out.
Right. And, you know, one game behind, actually 1.5 games behind Miami. Yeah, then you've got Baltimore. You've got Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and Cincinnati all at 5-3. Yeah. You got Houston. Creeping up, no, Buffalo. And if you're going to lose, you can't lose to Denver. You cannot lose to Denver. But so I'm going Buffalo. Brother X is going Buffalo. So, Lou, who do you got on this?
Bills.
All right. Oh, Seth, did we even get the overall? Did we get the numbers on this?
The Denver Broncos are playing against Buffalo Bills. The Bills are giving away 7.5 points, and the over-under is 46.5.
Yeah. I mean, they're playing in Buffalo, too. And Buffalo fans are not going to be tolerating any losses to Denver? No. No. This is not the time for Allen to play his games, where Allen can just stink up the joint whenever he wants to. He can't afford to do that right now. Buffalo cannot afford to lose this game. But there is that big, you know, big but. But no, I don't see it happening. Who do you got on this?
Everything says you should take Buffalo. But you know what? Josh Allen, with this and that, he always has a terrible interception or a fumble at the last second. That's so costly that I'm going to change my pick. Let it ride. Denver.
Mm-hmm. Well, I talked Brother X on this, and I said, you know, Peyton is, you know, he's doing everything he can to turn his team around, and I think he's a good fit for Denver, and they are starting to turn it around. I just don't know if they have that much turned around yet to come into Buffalo and beat him. Could I see it happening? Yeah. I'd be surprised. Probably. Not too much, anyway. I'll be bummed that I lose a pick, but, you know.
I'm trying to remember the last time I picked Denver to win.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a couple years.
But Buffalo is – there's something still in Buffalo that is stopping them from getting over that big hump.
It's Josh Allen. It's Josh Allen. Everybody just admit it. Please just say it. It's okay. It's okay to say it out loud.
Yeah.
You know, I think you might be right. Because, you know, they can get over the little humps, but getting over that big one, you
just
might be right.
5-4 right now. Just 5-4 right now. That's not the Jacksonville Jaguars being 6-2.
Well, that's
you know what I mean?
Buffalo should be. Buffalo should be tied with Miami right now at 6-2. That's what they should be.
But they're not.
They're just they're not. Those four losses, I mean.
No, and then you're looking at a weird Denver team that lost 70 points to whatever they had. And this Denver team, they beat Buffalo. They're still in that mix of that playoff hunt slightly. You know what I mean?
Well, here's the thing about Buffalo. Okay, they played Denver. Then this week, then they played the Jets. Then they got to play Philly. Then they finally fly. They come back and they play Kansas City, Dallas, Chargers, New England, and Miami. So they've got probably one, two, maybe three solid wins. And the rest could be losses. Yeah, Buffalo, you lose this. I don't think Buffalo makes the playoffs.
Who would have thought that? You know, early in the season, I had to pick to go to the Super Bowl. Now, they might not even make the playoffs.
Yeah.
What's wrong with the AFC East? What's wrong with the AFC East this year?
What was that?
What's wrong with the AFC East?
I don't know.
I mean, Buffalo might win the playoffs. I mean, you really don't have any really strong contending teams in that division.
Miami.
Yeah, Miami. But other than that, because Buffalo dropped up like a rock. The Patriots are not Tom Brady's Patriots. So, and the Jets,
I mean, right now, if we look at the AFC North, every team technically right now would go to the playoffs.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
This is right now.
Well, you know, I see Miami.
Oh,
yeah. They're 6-3. I see Miami starting, and Miami's beatable. Miami, is very much beatable. And I think we're going to start to see them coming a little down to earth down the stretch. Which can only help Buffalo, but I think Buffalo is going to be on the slide, which would help the Jets. But if the Jets could ever get up and going.
Well, Miami right now is undefeated against teams that are less than 500. So it means they took care of their business. And then the teams that are over 500, they're 0-3. But
I know.
They've lost these games pretty competitive, which, I mean, you know, hey, it's all right. And somebody, one of these games was overseas. So I think Miami is for sure a playoff team in the AFC, no matter how it ends up. That's all I'm saying.
Well, look, Miami's on a bye this week. Then they come back and they play the Raiders, the Jets, Washington, Tennessee, Jets again, Dallas. And they got the last two games. They got Baltimore and Buffalo. So you know that they're going to get get a slew of wins.
That's a very tough schedule.
Not really. The Raiders, Jets, Washington, Tennessee, Jets. Well, so, yeah, I mean, it is set up for Miami to take the division right now. And Buffalo has to know this. And, yeah, Buffalo has to win out. They can't afford another loss. And Denver, they're playing on house money right now. There's no pressure in Denver. They can go out there and you know, this is the perfect time to experiment and try new things. Because what's it going to hurt? You're not supposed to really win anyway. So why not go out? But I'll tell you this. If Denver does come into Buffalo and beat the Bills, wow. There's some stories right there. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, no. And at that point, if Buffalo is 5-5, at that point, you know their season is over technically, even if it's technically not, because that team was supposed to do certain things. And everybody in that organization is already looking at a way to get out of there and just look at their own stats and compared to a team winning effort. And you have to at that point. You have to be cutthroat. You have to say, we're not going to go to the playoffs. My team's going to get disassembled. I want to play the best that I can, even if it means giving up the best team performance I can, because I have to showcase my talents.
Right. Well,
and who's going to want to take a person off of that Buffalo defense or whatever, right? You're a solid player in the NFL. I would.
Yeah, well, we've only got a couple of minutes. The people that live downstairs are going to be gone till the second doomsday. I've got three dogs, three African gray parrots, 20 cats, and a whole bunch of raccoons. So I got to go down there and take care of their messes down there. So. All right, we did have a good show. It looks like Lou dropped, but anyway, we'll get Viper's numbers. So anyway, Seth, I want to thank you very much. It should be an interesting week. I'm looking forward to it. It really is.
A lot of good football again this week. It's going to be awesome.
No. And it's only going to get better as the weeks go on. So thanks everybody for listening, and thanks in the chat room, and thank you Lou, and thank you Seth, and we'll see you back here next week, Saturday night, 6 p.m. Goodbye everybody.
Good night.